Do you want to timestamp it for us, Mike, or anything?
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. This is January 17th, 2023, and collective bargaining between the University of West Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of West Florida. These are negotiations for a successor collective bargaining agreement to replace the agreement that will expire on June 30th, 2023. And I'm Mike Bannermore.
I'm Dan Lucas.
Amy Sprague.
Michael Wyatt.
Matthew Schwartz.
Jessica Whittle.
John Fink.
Dean DeBolt.
Melinda Lewis.
Jamin Wells, just observing.
Emily McCann. All right, well, I think, go ahead, Emily, I'm sorry.
Yep, Emily McCann, that's all.
All right, well, thank you all for being here today and participating. We appreciate your time and your attention to these negotiations and continue to look forward to working with you. I guess technically, is this our second meeting, Jonathan?
Yes, technically our second meeting. We met as per the reopener requirements last fall, but we were just waiting until the spring. There was a lot of things going on, our provost search and others going on, and we were just going to wait until we were prepared to identify articles for status quo and then go from there.
Right. That is how I understand it too. And we have some articles that we've identified that we're comfortable with being status quo, but we wanted to, my team wanted to make two preliminary points about these proposed articles for status quo. One is that we're not suggesting or sending the message that the other articles that are not identified as ones that we're comfortable with the status quo are going to have material or substantive changes to them. Some of them have simply updating immaterial changes to clarify the meaning of the language in the existing contract, or maybe to make some efficiency in the contract language. So although we are going to identify a relatively small subgroup of articles, we're not suggesting that we intend to rewrite this collective bargaining agreement. Also, as we go forward and we hear from you about what articles you are comfortable with being status quo, well, we might find ourselves expanding our list to include other articles. But whenever you're ready for us, Jonathan, we're able to identify those articles that we are comfortable with status quo, unless you want to go first or unless you have some other business you want to take care of.
No, that sounds great. I just wanted to reiterate, yeah, we completely understand the position and what you're articulating about the sequential process of identifying articles. That's what we've done in multiple times with full book negotiations. You know, we go through, we say identify initial articles that are status quo. There's some that may still be open that we don't even ultimately end up making proposals on. We're just leaving open to at times to make considerations about. We're perfectly fine with that. Just so the understanding is whichever ones align, our understanding is that those are going to be TA'd as status quo. Right, wherever our
that is correct. That okay. is correct.
Yeah, that sounds great. There's also the possibility, something to keep in mind, even if we TA an article status quo, the CBA allows for the teams by mutual agreement to negotiate items, even if those articles are closed, right? So there may be issues that come up that we say, well, we've TA'd this, but if we're both in agreement to renegotiate specific parts of it, that's a possibility as well also.
Sure.
We have, I'm just gonna email Jessica our list, if that's okay. It's not a complicated list. And so she'll have that, and we're happy to tell you what it is. I've also included, I'll include in the email, that our last session, you guys asked for us to provide just documented clarity about the members of our bargaining team and kind of who is and who is not on the bargaining team, those sort of things, kind of that they're documented. So we have that for you. And we also have a copy of our faculty survey that we sent out in advance of bargaining. I think there's some good things that may inform the respective positions about elements of that faculty are experiencing. You may have already seen the survey. We've already distributed it to faculty and to the university, but we wanted to distribute it here in bargaining as well. We had 112, I think, responses out of 300 and probably around 15 or so in unit faculty. So it's a representative sample of over 30%. So I'll send those to Jessica now.
We appreciate that, Jonathan. We look forward to receiving both pieces of information. And we do not have a list in writing, okay. But our list is, I think, straightforward enough so that if I articulate it, everyone's going to be able to take it down and understand it. So
our, as Jessica, as you'll see, ours is really complicated. It says we're happy to sign anything as status quo except for Article 25 salaries. So whichever ones you guys have identified, we're happy to have as status quo.
All right, then. Well, then yeah. I'll go through the ones that okay. We have identified as status quo for the time being.
Okay.
Article 5, academic freedom. Article 14, layoff and recall. Article 16, tenure. Article 21, conflict of interest, outside activity. Article 23, other faculty rights. Article 27, UFF insurance deduction. And then of the appendices, Appendix C, Appendix D, and Appendix E. So that's what we've identified for today.
We, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this. I mean, we don't usually TA the appendices. I don't know if we have to identify those as, it's something that's never come up. I don't think we've never negotiated an appendices. I know it's part of the CBA and we've never TA'd it. I don't know, what's your experience, Mike, on appendices?
Well, these particular appendix sections have to do with the grievance process.
Okay.
So they tend to be something that's scrutinized. And sometimes can be the subject of negotiations. So we wanted to get out in front of that and say with regard to CD&E, we're good with the forms as they currently exist.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you for articulating that. What I hear you intimating by these articles is that you want to have a very serious discussion about the preamble to the contract, the preface.
Yes.
It is in dispute.
Finally, the preamble.
Finally. Okay. Well, great. So yeah, also we can, these are all TA'd status quo. That's great. This is a good group to TA and to start off with. Did you have any other comments or other things that you were looking at that you wanted to address?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
I'll be glad to open the floor up to the bargaining team. And if anybody else has anything that they would like to share at this time, there, I'll give everyone that the opportunity. It looks like.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, so I just, one of the things, because I know it's a pretty small list that we're, you know, talking about TAing right now compared to what you all have, but one of our projects that we'd like to achieve is to just make the CBA more internally consistent and clear and more put things where they would most obviously be found. So, you know, I'm relatively new to the CBA, and there have been a couple times that I've been tripped up because defined terms aren't capitalized throughout. And so, like, I didn't know that day was a defined term. Or like one that shows up a lot is faculty. Faculty is a defined term in the back, which means in-unit faculty. But in the text of the CBA, we often say in-unit faculty, which doesn't make any sense because it's a defined term of faculty. So one of the big projects that at least I would like to see achieved this time around is just cleaning up the definitions, making sure that we're using those consistently. And then, you know, one thing that also has surprised me is that there are a couple of things procedurally that show up. So like take the grievance process, for example, where it says that if it's a grievance for discrimination, you know, you have, it can go through a separate process. It can be bifurcated or severed, right? It can be severed and sent through the EEO process before it comes back. That isn't in the procedure part of the grievance article, that's in the non-discrimination part. And so if you're just looking at the grievance procedures, you wouldn't know anything about that, right? Unless you happen to also look at the non-discrimination article. So I think that's a big objective. I don't think we're trying to rework the whole agreement, but as part of that, the articles that we did TA, all of them have defined terms in them that aren't capitalized. And I would just, you know, wanted to hear from you all what your thoughts are on capitalizing defined terms, because I think, you know, none of us are going to be in these positions forever. New people are going to come in. And I think it would be much easier to, you know, figure out this 100-page contract if you immediately saw, you know, it's a capitalized defined term and you would know that it has some kind of special meaning attached. So I don't know. I'm just, and I understand I'm just throwing this out here right now, but, and if y'all need to take a caucus or whatever, that's fine. But I'm interested to hear if you all think that that's a good idea to have the terms defined, because even all of those terms that we said we agree to, we're okay TAing, those all have, I think every one of them has faculty in it, and faculty isn't always capitalized.
I think it's a great suggestion, Michael. I think we're 100% on board on providing clarity of terms and consistency of formatting. For example, when you mentioned days, that's a good one it's a good example, because a lot of times days comes up, someone will not know to reference the definitions where it says day, by days, we mean calendar days, right? And then there's places where it qualifies and reiterates calendar days in the CBA, which is unnecessary because that's already contained in the definitions themselves. And so a lot of times, I think not only in our circumstance of bargaining, but the CBA is utilized throughout the university, right? People, they're always referencing it for all sorts of things. And those individuals may not have any bargaining background or know even to look for definitions. So they'll sometimes, grievances might arise based on timeline or others that could have been easily corrected if there was a clear understanding about that days mean calendar days, right? So that's kind of like a referential out into the university. Emily, do you have thoughts on this? I didn't know that a capitalized letter was intended to reference was intended to signal that that word is defined in the definitions. That was not something I was aware of. Is that a standard contractual practice, or where does that thought come from, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, that's standard in contracts. I mean, especially, like bilateral contracts for goods and services. I think that that's more standard in that area. But I think it would be helpful to adopt it here just for clarity's sake. Because, yeah, I mean, otherwise, how would you know that this is a defined term besides? Because, I mean, a DAZE is a good example, right? Because, I mean, why would DAZE be defined? Like, and how would you know to look that up if it weren't capital?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Thoughts, Emily? Did you have thoughts on that?
No, I mean, in general, we are, I mean, there's some rules of thumb for contract interpretation that one can use when you have an unclear document that was clearly not designed for anyone's use or ease or elegance or internal consistency. But we absolutely agree that whatever we can do to make the document more usable, we should do. We just need to look at each instance and see how it impacts the contract as a whole. So sure, in concept, we're fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that leads me to my next question. So, I mean, are you okay saying, you know, we don't want any substantive changes in this other than capitalizing faculty, and that's acceptable as a TA, or would you like to see red lines of Article 5 where we just capitalize faculty each time?
I think we would need to see the red line of it, but partly because, you know, there is a history of, so you don't have to go back or reopen an article to correct a Scrivener's error, right? If that's something in transcription, what happens a lot of times, I mean, we're being generous to the contract to insinuate that the only errors are these capitalizations. I mean, there's punctuation gets off. You'll have like the number one inserted for an L. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had a whole section that inadvertently got included. And we were like, why is this? We had this long discussion about the implications of why it was included twice in this article, then we went back to the original TA, and it was just inadvertently inserted at one point. So there's going to be other things that we find along those lines, and I think we need to demonstrate those as corrected, because they're beyond just Scrivener's error. I guess my point is, if it's a Scrivener's error in transcription, that's something that can be corrected outside of the TA. But I think we're in spirit, and we'll continue to have these conversations about how to make those corrections in the shared spirit of, we're not trying to change things substantially, the substance of it, we're just trying to correct those as well. Something else that I would fall into this category, that's something I would kind of like to look at, and we can talk with our team about as well, is the CBA frequently uses the word policy in both as a conversational sense and also like a university policy, but also in a formal sense of our university policies and structures. So for example, several of the articles begin with like the phrase policy, and it'll say Article 1.1 policy, and then it'll go into conversation. And I think that there's some clarity that could be brought to bear about if this word is used, if it should be struck, because it could be potentially be misleading and referencing a formal university policy, right? Or if this is intended to reference a university policy, like those sort of things. So I think that's some language I would like to kind of look at in the same spirit.
Yeah, and I think there are a number of artifacts like that too. Like, I think at one point the CBA starts talking about university rules, which were like policies but aren't around anymore. So yeah, I'm all in favor of cleaning up those sorts of things.
I think the rules are still maybe in effect as board of, like BOG rules. Mike, you would probably know that the use of the word rules in this formal setting, but there might be like rules as in a formal way, as in like administrative code or something like that.
They're supposed to have been converted to be referred to as regulations. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, I think we've had this conversation in the past that there may be, and this is just something we're going to have to research and determine whether they in fact exist or not. There may be vehicles out there that still carry the term rules. Mm-hmm. And we have to see if that's true or not. But the state university system, as opposed to the state of Florida's, non-university system under 120 have now been distinguished between regulations and rules. But you know, all this whole document is premised upon the footprint of the collective bargaining agreement between the Board of Regents and a statewide bargaining unit. And it's remarkably unchanged for having gone through completely changes in parties and over 20 years of experience with changes in law and changes in processes. So a lot of what you're talking about probably does need to be addressed, because we're still pulling along this language of a different circumstance.
Well, we see that. I know we've brought that up before too. We'll see some of that dust as well with language like certified mail or fax, you know, the technology. I think that's another good initiative that we've tried to do before, just for practicality on the grievance process of submitting by email, other things kind of like that can be documented that weren't anticipated. Listserv is another one phrase that comes up. I don't think we see as many listservs now. Carrier pigeon is the one article, I think. I'm not sure.
This year, when we were negotiating down at FAU, you had to file your grievance by personal fax. I was like, that isn't even fax; it's personal fax. What is that? Everyone has to have their own fax. Like, I got to go out and buy my fax. I got to buy a fax machine in order to file a grievance.
Yeah, a bunch of fat cats, all of us with our personal fax machines. I tell you.
Who owned the fax franchise in Boca Raton?
Yeah, you go to the definitions and it says fax definition as purchased through whatever LLC. Yeah. Michael, you were going to say something, I think.
It was not important. I was just going to say, I remember negotiating a contract where they said that we could do service through Telegram, which is literally impossible now. I mean, like you can do it online where they print out an envelope and then like somebody will deliver it, but there are no Telegram lines anymore. But anyway.
But yeah, we're all for it. Those are things that we're happy to keep an eye out for. Mike, do you remember how long ago was the devolution when we switched from the State Board of Regents to it was before I've been here 15 years. It was before my time, I think.
Well, it was 2003, but the last collective bargaining agreement prior to devolution was 2001.
That's one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Michael, is your plan? Do you want? I mean, we'll just kind of go through that kind of article by article. We'll keep an eye out. Look for those elements, I think, as we go through. I guess a simple way to do it would just be to do a word search with, just the terms in the Microsoft Word. Do a word search with the terms in the definitions. You know, and see just kind of how they pop up throughout. Go ahead.
Oh no! I was just gonna agree. Yeah, and that's kind of what I was planning to do, article by article.
On those other two documents that we sent you, so the ones that outline our bargaining team, right? So we have our bargaining team members on there. It's myself as chief negotiator, and Raed Amin, Dean DeBolt, Melinda Lewis, Chastity Hobbs, and myself. And Emily McCann, of course, is our service coordinator for Northwest Florida, service unit director. And then Jamin Wells and Justin, they're both, Jamin's our president and Justin is our grievance officer. Neither of them are bargaining agents. They're not members of the bargaining team. So they're not bargaining agents of the university. So that's, we just wanted to make sure that was provided and clarified.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jonathan. We appreciate that.
The only other quick things we had, we wanted to talk just a little bit about kind of the high level bullet point takeaways from the faculty survey. Some things maybe to kind of keep in mind. If you notice on the survey, as you might expect, overwhelmingly the number one concern of faculty is keeping up with cost of living. That's the predominant concern that they have of inflation. That's two to one or 3 to 1 over any other financial concern is inflation. A close second to that is, distant second to that is compression and inversion and those sort of things. But so that's a big concern, as you might imagine, of course, the faculty right now. One of the things that's interesting, I think something that we can think about as bargaining teams is if you go through kind of the more qualitative assessment of the university, what the faculty's thoughts are about kind of different job satisfaction, things that are working well, things that are not. There's a lot of things that score high, that the university scores well on, of kind of general job satisfaction. Are we moving in the right direction? Faculty morale, those elements, do they have time to kind of devote to students? Those elements score pretty high on faculty satisfaction. Coupled with that, the faculty satisfaction elements that score lower, or the lowest scoring ones, are language about do you feel loyalty to the university is rewarded. I think that was like the lowest scoring one of the points. Or time to do research and creative activities. That was one of the lower scoring ones as well. So I think there's some interesting ideas we can pull from those kind of two realities of how faculty are feeling. In general, the language about do they feel that evaluations are conducted and promotion, things that are conducted fairly, that scored pretty well as well. They felt like that those things had been hashed through pretty well. So anyway, that's just some high level takeaways that we encourage you to look at.
Yeah, thank you. We'll take time with that document, and we appreciate the information and insight it'll provide.
Okay. On my team, anybody else have anything else that you wanted to add or mention or focus on? Okay. We have a new provost.
UWF going to.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I'm sorry. Old building Wi-Fi slow. Did UWF give us a list of their bargaining team? Did we get that already, or did we talk about that?
Oh, right. It's a good question. And not just that. I think the bargaining agents, if there's like bargaining agents in addition to their bargaining team, people we should be aware of who are official bargaining agents of the university.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's something we can, we probably need to update it for this round of negotiations because we have some new people involved in the process, but we'll work on that.
Okay. Emily, do you have any questions on anything else? No? Okay. Mike, anything out of Tallahassee we need to know?
The governor's budget will be out in the next couple of weeks with his request for funding from the legislature for this session. So that's going to... That's going to hit the streets pretty soon.
Any sense of how the winds are blowing on that?
Not really, no. I think. The hurricane came at an interesting time for that process because they were kind of well into the process when the hurricane hit. And so that caused a lot of attention to turn to that and the recovery efforts. And so it kind of jumbled everything up. I think everything had to be kind of re-examined in light of the impact of the storm. That storm was, I saw something the other day, that storm, I think, is responsible for something like 2/3 of all insurance claims in 2022. So not in Florida, in the country.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So there's a lot going on there, but we're still going to see that budget out in the next week or 2 weeks at the latest.
Okay. Sounds good. Do you want me, Mike, do you want me to send you, I can type up these T8 articles just so we have and send it to you for signature, just so we can have that documented and just to keep track of?
Sure. Yeah, we'll do that. Go. Yeah, you can send it to me and we'll process it and
okay.
Get it back to you.
I've got 5, 14, 16, 21, 23, 27, and then the appendices C, D, and E. So
yes.
That's my bingo card. So I'll get that to you.
All right, Jonathan, we're looking forward to it.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, guys. And just, Dan, whatever works for you guys for scheduling your next session, we'll just await whatever works your guys' schedule with your schedule.
All right, we'll be in touch.
Okay. Can the UFF team pop into our caucus just for a couple minutes?
Yeah. Dan, do you want to go to caucus or do you want to just, are we done for the day?
Sure, we can go into caucus.
All right. Why don't we do that just for?
Sorry, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't necessarily mean that we needed a caucus. Just that I need.
Yeah, I think so. We'll caucus amongst ourselves. Just get, like, I think we're done with our meeting here. But just kind of.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're done. We're done here. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great seeing you. And we'll leave from caucus. Go into our caucus.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks.